Yiraisa.
Today's Amud is Givamas Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're holding on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom, by the words Amar Rava. So we've been discussing the machlaikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding Bias and Chalitzas Me'uberes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Bias and Chalitzas Me'uberes is Shema Chalitza, Shema Bia, and according to Rish Lakish, it's Lo Shema Bia, it's Lo Shema Chalitza. Now normally, throughout most of Shas, any time Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue, so the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. However, with regards to this machlaikas, says the Gemara that Amar Rava, that there are three exceptions, there are three cases that the halacha follows Reish Lakish. And Chada is Hada Amaran, and one of them is our machlaikas about Bias and Chalitzas Mu'beres, that the halacha follows Reish Lakish, that Bias and Chalitzas Mu'beres is Laishma Bia and Laishma Chalitza. So now, what are the other two? Once we mention this one, the Gemara speaks out the other two. Idach, the next one, the second one, is Ditnan, is based off of that, which we learned in a Mishnah, in Maseches Baba Basra. The Mishnah says, in HaMechalek Nechasav Alpiv, a person's on his deathbed, and he's giving out his Nechasim, instead of letting it fall to the regular Dine Yerusha, he's on his deathbed and he's giving it out to his children. So the halacha is that riba le'echad, umiya le'echad, if let's say he gives extra to one son, or he gives less to one son, v'hishva lehem es ha-bukhar, or in a different case, let's say the bukhar is really entitled to pishnayim, to a double portion, and he makes it, he says, no, the bukhar is only going to get a regular portion like everybody else. So the halacha is that the var of kayamin, his words work, he's allowed to give matanais, he's allowed to give presents, and mamela, such a statement would work, it would be halachically binding. However, v'mamar misham yerusha, if he says that this is going to be the divide, and that's going to be each one's Yerusha, that Lamashal, the Yerusha of the Bukhar, is not going to be Pishnayim, and the Yerusha of this one is going to be more than it actually is Apidina Yerusha. So then, the halacha is that Lay Amar Klum, his declaration, it does not carry weight. Rashi explains, because Shehisna Amasha Kasuba Taira, he's being Masna Amasha Kasuba Taira, he has no right to change what the Taira says is Dina Yerusha. In the first case, he wasn't saying that it's Midin Yerusha, he was just giving out his Nechasim, he's allowed to give Matanais, he's allowed to give out his nechasim, but if he says that this is what it's going to be, Api Din Yerusha, so then that already doesn't work, that's being Mas Namashikasa Batera, and Lo Yamar Klum. It's only if he mentions that it's just a Matana, so then that's when it works. And the Mishnah continues and explains that Kasav Bein Betchila, Bein Besaik, Bein Beemtza, Mishum Matana, Dvar of Kayamen. That as long as he mentions the word Matana, whether it's in the beginning of his statement, or the end of his statement, or the middle, meaning he'll say, let's say, that, oh, so Plony will inherit the house, and he'll be gifted it. So he mentioned Matana in the end. He said he'll inherit it, but he'll be gifted it. So that makes it that when he said Yerusha, it doesn't really mean Yerusha, it really just means Matana. Or if let's say he says in the beginning, that as a gift, so Plony should get the house as the Yerusha. So being that he mentioned Matana in the beginning, that would work, that would be considered a Matana. Or if he mentions it in the middle, he says Plony will be gifted the house, and he'll inherit it. So that's also, he mentioned the word gift in the middle, he mentioned Mishum Matana in the middle. So in all these types of cases, when he mentions Matana, even though he also mentioned Yerusha, since at Lamaisa he also mentioned Matana, so then we touch up that the whole thing is considered a Maisa Matana, and then his words would carry weight, and we would execute what he said to do. Then, on that, says the Gemara, that Va'amar Reish Lakish commented about this, so Rashi explains that Reish Lakish, it's a little bit misleading, the words of the Gemara. Reish Lakish is not really commenting on the Mishnah, Reish Lakish is commenting on something that Rabbi Yochanan said as a comment to this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan learned from the Seif of the Mishnah, where the Seif says that even though he mentions Yerusha, as long as he also mentions Matana, Bein Betchila, Bein Besayt, Bein Beemtza, so then Dvar of Kayamin. That's what the Mishnah said. And as long as he also mentions Matana, it works. So on this, Rabbi Yochanan, who's not in our Gemara, but Rashi brings it. So on this, Rabbi Yochanan said that Hu Adin, it would be the same halacha if, let's say, Yaakov had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. And he said that Reuven is going to inherit, he's going to get as a Yerusha field number A, field A, and Shimon, he's going to get field B as a Matana. So here also, he mentioned Matana Basayif, he mentioned the word Matana, but he only mentioned Matana to Shimon. To Reuven, he said Reuven's going to Yarshin field A, and Shimon is going to get as a matana field B. Does that also make it, that's the shaila, does that make it that now the whole thing is all considered a matana? He never mentioned matana about Reuven, but he didn't mention matana in the general statement. So does that make it that now we could touch up that the whole thing is a matana? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Rabbi Yochanan says that just like in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we see that if he mentions matana besaif, it works. So too in this type of case, even though it's divided, it's two different people, Reuven's yarshining field A, Shimon's getting as a matana field B, that also works and would be Devaru Kayamet. And on that, Vamei Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish argued with Rabbi Yochanan. And Reish Lakish said that no, La'ilam La'ikana, Ad She'yayimar Pleini U'Pleini Yarshu Sadeh Pleinis U'Pleinis, She'nesatim Liv B'matana V'Yershim. That it doesn't work unless he mentions the word matana in relationship to both children. He has to say pleini uplaini yirshu sadeh pleinis uplainis shenesatim lahem. He has to mention the word matana. In this case, it's matana be'emtza, but he has to mention the word matana going on both people's chalakim. If in the case that Rabbi Yochanan spoke about, he only mentioned matana about Shimon. He never mentioned matana about Reuven. So Reish Lakish argues with Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish says in such a case, ain't devar of kayamin. His words would not be fulfilled. And on this is the second case that Rava said that the halacha follows Reish Lakish. The first one was about Bias and Chalitzas Mubaras, and it's Leishma Bia and Leishma Chalitza. And then the second exception to the rule that normally the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan, the second exception where the halacha follows Reish Lakish is in this case of Yerusha. V'idach, and the third and final exception is ditnan, is that which we learned in the Mishnah, Mesachas Baba Kama. The Mishnah says that Hakaisev kol nechasav livnoi la'achar ma'isai. A person, a father, he's on it also, he's not necessarily on his deathbed, but he's getting ready to depart from this world. And so he tells his son, he says, I'm giving you all my nechasim, the whole field, let's say, about a certain field. It's all yours, but it's only going to be yours after I die. That's what the father tells his son. I'm giving it to you right now, but you can only actually have it after I die. So just in general, before we go weiter, the halacha in such a case, with such a memra, such a statement, when the father says to his son such a thing, and he writes the mishtar with such a nusach, so the halacha is that the field is considered the son's, the guf of the karka itself, the field itself is considered the son's. However, being that the father said that the son can only have it after he dies, so the way we view that is that the father has the rights to eat all the peres. So whatever the field produces, so that goes to the father. The guf of the karka itself is now owned by the son, but the peiros, so that goes to the father. So a father wrote to his son such a thing. The Mishnah then says that ha'av ina yachol limkar. So now the father is not able to sell the field. If the father would want to, then he wants to change his mind and sell the field to someone else, he's not able to. Vimneishanasdan leban, because he already gave it to his son. His son is the owner of the field, and mainly he's not allowed to sell it to someone else. Vahaben ina yachol limkar. Also, the son is unable to affect the sale and make an actual sale and sell it to someone else because it's in the rishus of the father. The father has the rights to the peres, and mamela, the son is not able to sell it as well. Now, what happens if they did? Machar ha'af, let's say the father, we'll go first with the father, let's say the father sold it, let's say the father sold the field, so then the halacha is that mechurin ad sheyama isu. So then whoever bought it, it actually is considered his, the sale will be chal, but it's only his until the father dies. Once the father dies, then the field automatically goes, transfers ownership to the son. So the father, lemaisa, if he sold it would work, but it would only work in as much as the father's alive. Once the father dies, so then the field would go to the son. Machar haben, if the son would sell the field, the halacha would be is that ein lekeach klum achiyama isaav. So then the buyer would not actually be able to use the field until the father dies, because as long as the father's alive, so he still retains ownership over the peres. It's only once the father dies and the son already sold it, so then the buyer would then get the rights to the field. Now, v'idmar, it was said about this halacha, that machar haben b'chayei ha'av, umeis haben b'chayei ha'av. Interesting twist to the case of the Mishnah. The Gemara discusses a case where machar haben b'chayei ha'av, the son sold the field while his father was still alive. So that's in the case of the Mishnah. The son sold the field while the father was alive. In such a case, we said that the buyer only gets it after the father dies. However, in this case, umeis haben b'chayei ha'av, The son was thinking he's for sure going to outlive his father. In this case, whatever happened, the son ended up dying before his father died. The son ended up dying first. So now, when the father then dies, who gets the field? Is it going to go to the Yarshei Ahav? Or is it going to go to this buyer? The son sold it to him. Normally, when the son would sell the field in such a case, we would say the buyer gets it once the father dies. But in this case, the son died first. The son already died at that point. So now who gets the field? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leikan Leikach. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Leikach does not get it. It goes to the Yarshei Ahav. Reish Lakish Amar Kan Leikach. Whereas Reish Lakish says that the Leikach does get the ownership of the field once everyone's dead. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leikan Leikach, and they explain themselves. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Leikach does not get the field because Kenyan Peirais Kenyan Aguf Dami. It's a shaila. How much do we view? How with what strength do we view the father's rights to the Peirais? When the father sells the son the field, lachar maisai. So the father, we said, still has rights to eat the fruits. Is that just called rights? Is it completely the son's and it's just that the father has rights to eat the fruits? Or is it some level of a kinyan in the karka? Is kinyan ha-peirais ka kinyan ha-govdami? Do we say that when the father has rights to the fruits, it's more than just rights? He owns the karka klape eating the fruits, but there's a level of ownership that the father has in the field? Or is it not? Or is it lafka? Reb Yochanan says that kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf dami, that we view with a tremendous weight that which the father has a kinyan peiros on this field, and it's like he has ownership on the field itself. Memela, in this case where the son sold the field and then he ended up dying first, so then the father gets the ownership of the field and the Lekeach doesn't get it. It goes back to the father. Whereas Vereish Lakish Amar, that Kana Lekeach, he says that the Lekeach will get it because Kinyan Peirais Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami. Because he says that the Kinyan Peirais that the father has, that's not like an actual Kinyan in the Guf of the Karka. He has rights to eat the fruits. He's allowed to eat the fruits. But it's not an actual Kinyan in the Karka. And Mamela, when the son dies, and it doesn't then revert, go back to the father. The father has no ownership in it. The ownership is by the buyer. It's true, while the father's alive, he'll continue eating the peiros, but the ownership of the field is by the buyer. The father has zero ownership, and that's the psak of Reish Lakish, and this is the third case where the halacha follows Reish Lakish. So that's the Gemara Vayter now. Going back to the Mishnah, the Mishnah had spoken about a case where Reuven died, and Mrs. Reuven fell to Yibum to Shimon, and Shimon was Miyabe and Mrs. Reuven. And then it was discovered that Mrs. Reuven was pregnant. Mrs. Reuven was really pregnant at the time. And she went on to have a child. So the Mishnah said that if the child ends up being a Nephil, if the child doesn't end up being a healthy child, so then it's not halachically considered a child. In which case, Reuven never had any children, and Mrs. Reuven really did fall to Yibam. Now it was a machlaikis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, did the Yibam that Shimon did while Mrs. Reuven was pregnant, did that work? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it worked. According to Reish Lakish, it didn't work. But either way, the Mishnah said that Yekayim, which either means that they are allowed to stay married and rely on the previous Yibam that they did, or Yekayim means that they could do another Yibam, but they're mutter to each other. Al-Kabanim, that was the din of the Mishnah. Then in this type of case, so it's going to be mutter for Shimon to remain and to get married and to stay married with Mrs. Reuven because she didn't end up having a healthy child. Now that's what the din of the Tan of our Mishnah holds. That the Tan of our Mishnah says that even though Shimon did something which was not okay technically, he did Yibam with the Mu'uberes, still we allow them to stay married. However, says the Gemara, and now even though it seems like in the case of the Mishnah, it's important to point out that Shimon is a little bit innocent, he did Yibam and only afterwards it was discovered that Mrs. Reuven was pregnant, Shimon is really not all that innocent because he really should have waited to see if Mrs. Reuven was pregnant. He's supposed to wait. There's a din of Havchana that he's supposed to wait 90 days before he does Yibam. So Shimon is not exactly the most innocent man out there. Still, the Tana of our Mishnah says that he's allowed to stay married to Mrs. Reuven. However, Tana Mishim Rabbi Eliezer Amru, they said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that Yaitzi Beget. He argued on the Tana of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Eliezer says that no, that even if they then do Yibam, or if we're going to rely on their old Yibam that they did, the halacha is going to be that Shimon is not allowed to stay married to Mrs. Reuven. Chazal made a knas. Since Shimon did the wrong thing by being Miyab and Mrs. Reuven, she was pregnant, and he didn't wait. So since he did the wrong thing, they gave a knas, and Shimon is not allowed out to stay married to Mrs. Reuven. Even though in the end she didn't end up having a baby and it comes out that really she did fall to Yibum, it doesn't matter. He was Ivra on the Dindar Rabbanan, and he married a Meuberes, and Mamela, he has to divorce her, he's not allowed to stay married. Now Amar Rava, Rava commented, and Rava said that Ramea Rabbi Eliezer Amu Davar Echad. Now this that we just had from Rabbi Eliezer, so you should know that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer both hold to the same shita. They both agree to this idea that when a person marries a Me'uberes be'isr, so then the halacha is that Chazal give a kanas and they have to get divorced. So Rabbi Eliezer had amara. Rabbi Eliezer, like we just spoke out, that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, based off the din of our Mishnah. He says that Shimon and Mrs. Reuven are not allowed to stay married, they have to get divorced. Where do we see that Rabbi Meir holds like this? Rabbi Meir is the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. It was about a different case of a Me'uberes, but same idea, a person married a Me'uberes b'Isser, we give him a kanas that he's not allowed to stay married to her. The Braisa says that La'yisa Adam Me'uberes Chaveiroi Umeinekas Chaveiroi. That a person, he's not allowed to marry a woman who was just married to someone else, and she's pregnant or she's nursing, so he's not allowed to marry a lady who's pregnant or nursing from someone else, because there's a concern that maybe she'll become pregnant again, and it will affect her milk supply, and it'll be dangerous for the child. So some say that if it's his own Me'uberes or it's his own Me'nekes, so then he could remarry her, because even if she becomes pregnant again and it affects her milk supply, being that the father is the father of this child, he'll make sure to take care of the child and get him food in some other way. But over here in this case, where it's Me'uberes Chaveiroi, Me'nekes Chaveiroi, so then the person's not allowed to marry her because of this concern that she'll become pregnant, ruin her milk supply, and then the child won't have any food. So that's the din. A person can't marry. He's not allowed to marry Me'uberes and Me'nekes Chaveiroi. Now what happens im Nasa? Let's say he did marry her. So then the halacha is Yaitzi v'lo yachzer Eilamis d'ifur Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that they have to get divorced and they're never allowed to get remarried. Reb Meir makes a kanas. A person married a Me'uberes b'Isser. The halacha is that we give him a kanas that they have to get divorced and they're never allowed to get back together. As opposed to v'chachamim v'aymrim, that yaitzi, that they get divorced for the meantime, and then you wait until she has the baby, until she's not nursing anymore, and then they could get married again, and then once it reaches that time, so then they could get remarried. In the meantime, they have to get divorced, as the Gemara will explain shortly, but then afterwards, they're allowed to get back together. But Reb Meir makes a kanas, Reb Meir gives a kanas, so that's what Rava was saying, that Reb Meir and Rabbi Eliezer hold to the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer, by our case of Yibam, where Shimon was Miyabe and Mrs. Reuven, so Rabbi Eliezer said that they have to get divorced, being that he did something that was wrong. And over here we have Reb Meir saying a similar idea about Me'uberes Chaveiroi, that they have to get divorced. However, says the Gemara, Amar Lei Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, Demimai, who says that this is really the same shita? You're assuming that basically that Reb Meir would agree to Rabbi Eliezer's halacha, and Rabbi Eliezer would agree to Reb Meir's halacha. They're both really saying the same thing, and that's not necessarily true. Says Abaye, that Dumalaihi, maybe it's not true. Adkan, like Amar Rabbi Eliezer hacha, Rabbi Eliezer only said his din that we give a kanas by our case of Yibam, Elam Mishum de Kapaga be'isr Eishas Achdi Araisa. It's because by Shimon being Miyabe Mrs. Reuven, he was taking a chance that he's being Ivran and Isser Daraisan and Isser Erva of Eishas Ach. So that's why it's very chamer, and even though it ended up working out that Mrs. Reuven ended up not giving birth to a healthy child, still we give a kanas because he did something really bad. He was taking his chances with an Isser Erva Daraisa. Avul Hasam, but in Rameir's case, where a person married Me'uberes Chaveiroi, the Rabbanan, it's an Isser Darabanan. There's no Isser Daraisa to marry Me'uberes Chaveiroi. It's an Isser that the Rabbanan made because of a chashash that she'll get pregnant, it'll ruin her milk supply, that it'll be dangerous for the child. So that's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. And maybe Karabanan Svirulai. And maybe by an Issa d'Rabbanan, Sir Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, like the Chachamim, that we do not give a kanas. We tell them to get divorced, and then later on they could get remarried. Inami. Also, we could also say that they don't agree with each other the other way. That Adkan, like Amar Meir Hasam, Elamishum Durabanan. It could be that Rameir only said his din by Me'uberes Chaveiroi Gufa because it's only an Issa Durabanan. Because it's only an Issa Durabanan, so people might not treat the Isser in a very serious way. They might not treat it very seriously that there's an Isser to marry Me'uberes Chaveiroi. And therefore, Rameir said that if a person did it, we're going to give him a kanas. The Chachamim Asu Chizik Ledevrayim Yaiser Mishal Taira. Like we find sometimes Chazal, they give more serious punishment, they make a Chizik Ledevrayim even more than by Adin Daraisa in order to make it that people take it seriously. Aval Hachabu, when it comes to the case of Yibam, where Shimon is Miyabi, Mrs. Ruven Be'isser, Midaraisa, Mafresh Parshimina. It's Midaraisa. And naturally speaking, a person will separate from her, and therefore we don't need to make a Kanas. It's true in this case, Shimon did something terrible, but we don't need to make a general Kanas, because generally speaking, that's not something that the person's going to do. It's something that naturally a person will stay away from. And so it could be Rameir would say by the case of our Mishnah, like the time of our Mishnah, that there's no Kanas, and that Yekayim, that they could stay married. Not like Rabbi Eliezer. So it's no Raya that Rabbi Eliezer would agree to Rameir, or even that Rameir would agree to Rabbi Eliezer. Now says the Gemara, just going back to the Machlekes, Rameir and the Chachamim, so Rameir said that if a person marries Mu'beres Chaveray, we make them get divorced and they're never allowed to get remarried. Whereas the Chachamim said that Yaitzi, and then when it's time, so then they'll get remarried. Now Rava explained that Uladivrei Chachamim Yaitzi Abeget. When the Rabbanan said Yaitzi, and then when it becomes time, they could get back together, the Chachamim meant that they have to get divorced. Not just separate, not just go, go to different houses and then eventually come back together. They meant that they have to actually give a get, the man has to give a get, and they have to get properly divorced. I guess we don't trust them otherwise, they have to get properly divorced in the meantime. And Amar Marzutra pointed out that they cannot mean that it's meduyik like that from the Lashon of the Chachamim as well. The Ketani Yaitzi. The Lashon of the Chachamim was Yaitzi. V'lay Ketani Yafresh. They didn't say to separate. They said literally to get divorced. So Shema Mina, you see that that's the Din Lefi the Chachamim, is that we tell them they have to actually get properly divorced until the time comes where they could get remarried.